Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus put before the crowd another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and they went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in the bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is of the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. But just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun, and in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." For the gospel of the Lord. May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, has been telling us as we've broken this reading over the past few weeks that all sorts of things are foolish. In the first part of the letter to the Romans, he starts by addressing all the things that he knows that the Jewish Christians in Rome find objectionable about the Romans. He then, having got the Jews quite happily on side, begins with all the proselytized Christians of Rome, and begins to tell them about all the things that they don't like about the Jews. And you just go, "Yeah, we get it, we get it." And then he says to them, "You fools." It's like he's built a little card house and he's gone, bang, pulled out a card from the middle and it's all collapsed. It's called a diatribe. You set up two arguments on both sides and then you end up with a common address to both parties. They are so focused on their issues and their dislikes that they are failing to be community. Jesus didn't call them to be Roman Christians. He didn't call them to be Jewish Christians. Paul preached the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that he talks about, is God divided? Is the body of Christ divided? At one stage to the Corinthians, he had to address the fact that there were those who were saying, I was baptized by Peter and I was baptized by Paul, as if those followers were more worthy than the other. You were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You were baptized into the one faith. So what is this division about? He then goes on, and this particular reading, for me, sets the most powerful and most deepest reflection that Paul gives. We were in a time of slavery to sin. We were subject to death by disobedience. But if we cry to our Heavenly Father, we know that through baptism we are adopted as children of God. And if we are children of God, we are therefore heirs, inheritors, as we say at the baptism when I was here 2 weeks ago, inheritors of the kingdom of God. This is our birthright, to be children of God, to inherit the kingdom. But as we know, when we take a small child and baptize, this is the beginning of a journey. It's a journey in which many things will happen. The parable of the four soils, or if you like, the parable of the seeds, gives us that understanding as well. Some people will just not get it. Some will get it, but will be soon consumed by other things, the ways of the world. Some of them will make a start on the journey, but they have no roots. They cannot see it through. And then others do get it, and they bear fruit 100, 60, 30-fold. It was told by the prophets that this is what will happen when the Son of Man appears. And the people who received the Hebrew Scriptures have also had, as we heard in the Gospel, a preview of this actually happening. When the three young men were cast into the furnaces of Nebuchadnezzar and they prevailed. And one like the Son of Man appeared with them in the furnace. And when they came out of that fiery furnace, they were not scorched or burnt in any way, but in fact shone with the same radiance as the one who was with them. This is what the gospel says. The righteous will shine like a sun in the kingdom of the Father. Paul considers all the things that are happening in the world, and particularly this is the start of a very dark period of the Roman Empire, that there's going to be much suffering. And we are looking for a new birth, a new beginning. We are, that beautiful phrase, that we are in the labour pangs, groaning, not only for creation, but for the first fruits of the Spirit. And we wait, and we wait. For in hope we are saved. Now we may not see that hope. Hope is a belief that there is better to come. If we wait for hope and we do not see, we must wait for it with patience. In the parable of the weeds, the owner of the land gives us an example. No, do not disturb the weeds and do not disturb the wheat. Because when wheat starts, it's only tiny. And if you go to weed, they could look the same. You could actually disturb the wheat and it becomes unable to bear fruit. So there is wisdom in saying, well, the weeds are there. Once the wheat grows, it'll be easier for us then to go through and weed and then bring in the sheaves. great wisdom. And Jesus reminds his disciples, who do have a history of not being able to understand parables, that this is what it will be at the end of time. Those who are the sinful people of the age, who are causing others to stumble, they will be dealt with. And the others will be gathered into the silo representing heaven. At our Sunday afternoon service, we've had a little bit of fun with the Gospels of late, breaking them into plays, and the parables are very good ones to do that. 2 weeks ago, when we had Peter not getting it, we had one of our teenagers being the rather sassy Peter, going, the line which sticks out, and the way Lily delivered it was delightful. What do we know about farming? We're fishermen. Poor Peter. He's going to do it again this afternoon. He's going to have a couple of little words to say to Jesus about, we don't know what you're talking about. He also channels that immortal line of the Reverend Ian Paisley of Ireland, who, when heckled, what if we don't have teeth? Teeth will be provided. And then it finishes, let anyone with ears to hear listen. And Peter replies, I thought we were talking about wheat, not corn. Teaching using humour and everyday things is a very good thing to do, because people hang on to it, they remember. And if that's the longing, creates that longing and hope of which is to come, so be it. The church, you, me and everyone else, must continually change to the ways of the world. One of the arguments that Latin should still be the language of the church is, oh, that was the language in which the church was established. Probably wasn't. It was probably in Aramaic. We should all be speaking Aramaic. But what is the point of that if we live in a world where the most common language is Chinese, Mandarin, and English second? What language should the gospel be preached in? Ni hao. No Mandarin speakers. I said hello. Very similar to Minyan. One thing you'd learn very quickly in China is not to say Ni Ha Su, because that invites people to tell you exactly how they're feeling. We had a beautiful priest at the cathedral in Hobart, and he, if you ever asked him, how are you going today, Father? Well, he said, my back's a bit, and then you knew you're there for another half hour. We need to speak the language that others understand, and that's partly what we are attempting in throwing a new service in, by having a contemporary approach to it. We are sowing seeds. I may not live to see the reaping, but if those young people, aged from 3 months to something over 29, read into that 92, if they remember one or two sentences from the time they spend together in church, then the seeds are sown. And those who are there with teenage children, well, there's all sorts of weeds which come along with them. But we have to wait for them to grow and encourage them, as the parable of the soil said. We need to nurture the soil with love and patience. The parish is at a point now where the traditional model of church is just not going to survive. We need to make a difference, and we need to do it now. One of my students I supervise has been criticized by his wardens for changing things. But he reminds them, you called me here to be an agent of change. Oh yes, that's all we say. They only said that to keep the bishop happy. Ouch. Sure, we get ground down with all the child safe standards, all the other things that have come in from time to time. I did a count. There are 4, 5 lights not working, 6 lights not working in here. In my mind is going, how are we going to get them fixed? Because we're going to have to hire a platform. The latest thing from the diocese is that we have to do an audit of all our external bells. Because apparently one fell on someone.
It's all right. Brett took a photograph of himself this morning. With it.
I've often wondered how tight and well attached it is up there.
I've only ever had one bell. I've only ever lost one bell, and that was a Bray book, but they returned it three weeks later. Yes, we are challenged by the ways of the world. These are the weeds, these are the poor soils that we have to confront. But what we need to do is now be spreading the word, encouraging others to come to various parts of the parish life, whether it be through the op shops, whether it be through the bus ministry, whether it be coming to St Paul's on 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock on Wednesdays, also 10:30 here and 4 o'clock at Riddles Creek. We plant seeds and we nurture. And when everyone says, look around, I'm the 3rd youngest here this morning, 4th youngest. Just realised that someone has just aged 1 year. We're all too old. And Sarah stood in the tent and laughed. We can make a difference. We change the language. We re-pitch the tent. So this is what the Gospels are saying to us. And I wanted to go slightly longer than normal this morning to make the point that we do need to make some changes. Not changes to say that we're throwing out what was old, but changes which grow in fertile soil, reaching to the sky, reflecting the light of the Son of Man. It's a challenge. Any wonder the disciples, when Jesus was speaking, said, we just don't get it. But here we are, 2,000 years on, still looking at them and going, oh, what will it take? My sisters and brothers, we've got a lot to do, and we don't know how much time Jesus is going to give us, but we look with hope and we wait with patience. But in the meantime, we tend the soils and we encourage the new growth. The Lord be with you.